operating today. I was trying to craft today's message and make it into a Mother's Day message, and it sort of came out to be like that. But so hopefully not only will the moms be blessed, but I was also thinking about our church and just where we are as well, and so hopefully you guys will be blessed. So if you guys are taking notes, today is simply called Mother's Day Message. Alright?
Nice.
I'm very creative today. There was an article I recently read entitled Weak Moms, Strong God. And so the author was talking about how Mother's Day, it's a time where we celebrate, but then also Mother's Day can be a time where it's painful. And this is what the author writes. And by the way, she is a mom. And I quote, she says this: "These last 10 years of motherhood have been mixed with joy and pain, sweetness and sorrow, growth and loss. God has been faithful to carry us through many dark days, but the internal struggle often remains within me. Each mother carries her own unique fears, anxieties, and struggles, but we all desire to be the mom that our children need, don't we? These burdens and fears will either consume us and create perpetual anxiety within us, or by God's grace, they will lead us to the one who is not only in control, but knows exactly what our children need and loves them more than we ever could." And you know, I think, especially me being a father, I can kind of relate, but I think this is a very unique burden and maybe also a privilege as well that our moms carry. And so the advice that this author gives to other moms, and really thinking about who our children need the most, she gives these three specific advice. She says, first of all, our children need the most a mom who loves Jesus more than a mom who does everything right. Right? When you think about not only you as a mom, but even our mothers, that what our children need the most are a mom who loves Jesus more than a mom who does everything right. Secondly, she says, our children need a mom who humbles herself under God's loving plan, even when it's not her own. And I think this is something that, regardless of whether we are a mom or not, can relate to as well. That we need to humble ourselves under God's, not just plan, but His loving plan. Even if that plan might not necessarily be our own. And then the last advice that she gives is that our children, what they need the most is a mom who trusts that God is bigger than our baggage, failures, and circumstances. And I know that especially for my wife, this is a unique struggle that she goes through as a mom who works, as well as a mom who is trying to be faithful in raising up our boys, that there is struggles. There's baggages, but not only that, but just even the sense of maybe failing in certain areas because she feels like she might not be able to devote certain time and energy effort into things that she wants to desperately. And so we need to become moms, not we as in all of us. Some of you are not going to become moms. But your mom will trust that God is bigger than our baggage, failures, and circumstances. And I was thinking about this article for a bit as well, because I think these truths are not only relevant for our moms, but it's relevant for all of us as well, because it's not just about understanding who God is. But it's also about understanding that no matter the circumstances that we go through in life, so the circumstances that we face as a mom, the unique struggles that we have, as well as the circumstances that we've experienced as working people or even as students, that regardless of those circumstances that we go through, that we're able to thrive as God's children because we are being planted in God's commitment to us. That we need to understand that, regardless of your circumstances, that we can thrive as His children because we are being planted in God's commitment to us. And I use that word thrive very purposefully because if you remember, we started this semester talking about what it means for us to thrive as God's people. That really, that's the vision that God has for us. And I don't, when I talk about and think about thriving, I don't necessarily mean like, oh, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. Sorry, I was going to do a Bob Marley accent, but I would have done a disservice. But really, thriving means maturing and growing into Christ-likeness in the midst of the circumstances that we face. And so today, as we recognize the moms and celebrate Mother's Day, I want to talk about really God's incredible love and His commitment to us and what that looks like in our lives. God's incredible love and commitment to us and what that looks like in our lives. And so let's go ahead and read this or these passages together. So Hosea 1, hopefully you've found the book of Hosea by now. Verses 2 through 3. It says this: When the Lord first spoke to Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And then we skip to chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And it says, "And the Lord said to him, Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethek of barley. And I said to her, You must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you." Okay, we'll stop there. So the one thing that I want to emphasize today and try to get across is simply this, that we must encounter God's love that transforms our lives. That it's not just about understanding what God's love is, but we must encounter God's love that ultimately transforms our lives. Because when you think about this book, and obviously we're not going to cover the entire book, but it's really an interesting book, Book of Hosea, because it's about the prophet of God who is called Hosea. And God has a very specific purpose or an assignment for him. And that assignment is to marry Gomer, who is a prostitute. And so, through God's command, it seems like such a bizarre thing for God to ask of a man of God to do. Right? I mean, it wouldn't make sense in our context if somehow you're dreaming, or you know, you're doing your part time, and all of a sudden God came to you and said, "I want you to go and marry a prostitute." You'd be like, "Say what?" But then you wouldn't think that, okay, this is the voice of God somehow speaking to me. But it's a very strange assignment that God gives to Hosea, and through this, God is wanting to illustrate two things. So the first thing that God illustrates is simply this, that He was illustrating how the people of God we're like Gomer. In other words, you and I are like Gomer, and that we prostitute ourselves to false gods, and we run after them, and we worship them. And so it's to characterize the unfaithfulness of the people of God. And it's incredible, because even as Hosea obeys God and marries Gomer, they actually have two kids, his wife runs off and says, "You know what? I will run after my other lovers." And so it's really talking about and illustrating the unfaithfulness of God's people. But more than that, number two, what it illustrates is also God's love. So it's about illustrating His love and His commitment towards His people despite our wandering hearts. And that's the thing that I want to talk about. So I want to talk about three incredible truths about God's love that we see here. And then after that, we'll close out for today, okay? So there's three truths that we notice about God's love in the book of Hosea. And I'm sure there's more, but there's three things that we want to hone in on. And the first truth that we see is simply this, that God is persistently committed in His love for us. Turn to the person next to you and let them know that God is persistently committed in His love for you. Because when you think about the story, if Gomer represents us and if Hosea represents God, then you think about what's happening, that even as Hosea marries Gomer, Gomer says, "You know what, I'm going to run away and I'm going to be unfaithful to you." And when you think about this story, I mean, logically speaking, this is the perfect spot for God to say, "You know what? If this is what you're going to do, then I'm out, right? I'm not going to continue in this relationship." In fact, that's what you would probably expect. If there's like a rumor, hopefully we're not gossiping, but if there's news like someone is cheating on their spouse, then what happens? The automatic response is, you know what? If you're unfaithful, then I'm out. But we see that that's not the way that God enters and continues in this relationship. But rather, it's the opposite. He says, despite your faithfulness, then I'm going to keep going after you. And God says, despite the unfaithfulness of my people, then I'm going to continue to pursue after them. And really, ultimately, his heart is expressed when you look at Hosea 11:8. When he says this, he says, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? And this is really God's heart. He's saying, yes, I know that you are unfaithful and you are going after these other lovers and you are worshiping these false gods, but ultimately in my heart, how can I give you up? How can I stop pursuing after you? That God is persistently committed in his love for us. That's why when God declares in Romans 8:35-38, for Paul writes this, he says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What God is declaring is that there is nothing in this creation or nothing that you can do that will separate you from my love. That even if you persistently run away, I am persistent in my commitment to go after you. And so when you think about it, this is such an incredible concept. And this incredible statement that God is making. Because when you think about any relational context, one of the most devastating things that you can do is what? Betray that relationship, especially in the marriage context, right? I know that not majority of you are not married, hoping to get married, but then also all of us, we're not hoping to end up in a relationship where we get married and then we discover that our spouse is cheating on us. That our spouse is committing an affair. Just think about how that would affect your relationship. Think about what it would do to your heart if you find out that this person who says for better or worse yet is sleeping on others. Think about the struggle within your heart, the turmoil, the anger. And what God is saying is that this just happened. It's not that this just happened to me once. But it's this situation where one of the spouses cheats and says, you know what, I'm really sorry, I'm going to work on this, can you forgive me? The other person comes around finally and says, you know what, yes, I will forgive you. And then finds out their spouse cheats on them again. And what God is saying, it's not that this just happened to me once, but this keeps on happening to me over and over and over again. But despite it, God makes this incredible declaration that he says, yet I am persistent in my love for the people. That God is persistently committed in his love for us. And not only that, but the second truth that we see is simply this, that God does not withhold anything in his love for us. Not only is he persistently committed, but that expression is in love for us. He doesn't withhold anything. So when you finally get to chapter 3, right? They get married, she runs off. And then when you get to chapter 3, God says what? Go and buy back your wife. And let's read that again. It says, and the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel. So they turned to other gods and love cakes and raisins. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethek of barley. I think more than the faithlessness of his people, I think this book ultimately points us to really the faithfulness of God and his commitment to love us. And so while Gomer is living in faithlessness, that Hosea goes and he rescues her and he purchases her back. And not is it just this act of purchasing her back, but literally it's with everything that he has. And so when he's describing the price there, what's going on, if you read the commentaries, is that Gomer was living with another guy, but he got tired of her, so he actually sold her off into sex trade, and she's being auctioned off to the highest bidder. And then comes her husband into that picture and says, I am leveraging not only the money that I have in my bank, but I'm selling my house so that I can purchase back my wife who has been unfaithful. Just think about the situation of how humility, because this isn't just some illustration, but this is real life. That he actually has to compete with other men to buy back his own wife. And he leverages everything that he has. And that's really an illustration of God's love for us. And that's why in Romans 5:8, God declares this, that God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, what the Word of God is saying is that we're no better than Gomer. While we were still sinners, while we were still living in bondage, while we were still living in rebellion, while we were still selling ourselves to foreign gods, that God showed us his love, that he leverages everything that he has to send his son to die for our sins. In other words, when God says, I love you, what he is saying is that I don't hold anything back. That I have given my best so that you can experience and understand my love for you. And not only that, but let's close with this. The last truth that we see is that ultimately God's love, it transforms our hearts. God's love, it transforms our hearts. Because when you think about the story, it's not just about Gomer, right? Because there are two characters, well, there's more. There are two main characters. Because it's also about Hosea, the man of God. And so it's God expressing his love not only towards Gomer, but it's God also expressing his love towards Hosea as well. And so when I think about this, like you think about, okay, what in the world was going through Hosea's mind for him to have actually accepted this assignment from God's service? To say, you know what, God, this is what you're calling me to do, so I'm going to do it. Because I'm thinking he could have ran away like Jonah. He was another prophet when God said to go to Nineveh, your enemy, and go preach forgiveness and salvation. Jonah says no, and he runs. And so I'm thinking, you know what, maybe Hosea, he could have ran away. Or maybe he could have grumbled like Jeremiah. Or maybe, I don't know what he was thinking, maybe he thought, you know what, oh my gosh, this sucks. I don't really have a choice in this, but this sucks. Or maybe he thought, God, why are you punishing me in this way, right? Like here I am, a man of God, trying to love you, yet you're calling me to go and marry a prostitute, and who dreams about growing up and marrying a prostitute? Maybe you're thinking, God, why are you ruining my life? This isn't what I was aiming for. This isn't what I was dreaming about. This isn't what I was thinking when you said, you know the plans and the purposes for me. Maybe he's thinking, what did I do wrong? Or maybe he's thinking, what didn't I do enough for God to punish me in this way? And when you think about it, I think it's really this aspect of this story that's really the hardest for us to accept or even deal with. Because from Gomer's perspective, right, we like to be in Gomer's situation. Because it's about God's love that rescues us. It's about God's love that forgives us and that makes us whole. And that's what we want to hear. That regardless of the mistakes that I made, God forgives me. And that's truth. And that's powerful truth. But for many of us, our understanding of the love of God is very self-centered and man-centered, because that's where we want to stop. In my mistake, God came and He said, everything's going to be all right, and He rescues me, He cleanses me, He renews me. Stop. But what we see in this story is that God's love is so much more. Because ultimately, God's love, it propels us to move beyond that. So it's not just about me being made whole. But as I am being made whole, it's His grace and His love that invites us into the work that He is doing. Not only in our lives, but the work that He wants to do through our lives. So in other words, His love, it doesn't just rescue us, but ultimately His love, it transforms us. Because think about what's going on and how God is expressing His love, not just for Gomer, but for Hosea. Someone said this, God not only wanted Hosea to learn about His love for His people, but ultimately He wanted Hosea to become a giver of that kind of love. So what the author is saying is that really this love that Hosea encountered, and you think about, is this really love? How can this be love? But it's God saying, Hosea, I love you, and I am shaping your life, even through this difficult calling, so that not only do you understand my love for the people, but ultimately you can become the person who is able to give that kind of love to others. And so when you think about it, Hosea has to walk in this call so that ultimately he can reflect Christ to others. It's what Paul says when he says, I count it a privilege to suffer for the sake of knowing Christ. So when you think about encountering God's love, it's not just a love that heals you, but it's a love that frees you to live your life in obedience. And that's why 1 John 5:3 says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. That the love of God is that you keep His commandments, and ultimately they're not burdensome. 2 John 1:6 says, for this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. And so here's the reality. The reality is this, that God encounters you when you're like Gomer. And He loves you and He sets you free. And ultimately, in His love, He transforms you so that you become like Hosea. Think about it. The work that God is wanting to do in your life. That He is wanting to transform you. That He's willing to meet you while you're still like Gomer. But the work that He wants to do, He wants to transform you into Hosea. Who would be willing to say yes. Even though it might cost me everything. My reputation, my resources, my dreams. That because my heart is being plugged deep into you, your being, and I understand and realize your purpose. That not just me seeing your love for others, but I want to become that vessel, regardless of the cost, so that I can be given of that love and demonstrate the love of Christ in the lives of others. And that that's the reality of God's love that is at work in your life. It's not just to rescue you while you are gone, but ultimately it's to transform you so that you can be like Jose. So that when that difficult calling of God comes, you know that it's God speaking to you because He loves you. And it's a great privilege for us to reflect His love and become now vessels who will give away that love that is so gracious, so merciful, freely to us. Now let me close with this. When you think about it, that's the gospel. That we are like Gomer and Christ is like Hosea. That not only does Christ persist in His love for us, but He leverages His very own life so that He can buy us back from the bondages of sin and death. But ultimately, as He loves us, He transforms us. And He challenges us, what? To carry our own cross, to follow after Him. To become more and more like Him, so that we can also become givers of this kind of love. And so when you think about this, that's why when you profess to love Christ, obedience is never optional. So just because you obey doesn't necessarily mean that you love Christ. Right? It could just be because you're legalistic, or maybe you're trying to earn God's favor, or maybe you're trying to earn thinking somehow that if I live my life in obedience, that God is going to love me more. Not necessarily the case. But if you love God, then the fruits that you're going to bear is what? Fruits of obedience. That if you truly experience God's love that is able to you're going to obey. And your life is going to look more and more like the life of Hosea. Let's close to prayer. Can you stand with me as we pray?
Sends you out not to earn His love,
but because you are anchored in His love. And what we are focusing in on is not the difficulty of the assignment. When God speaks to Hosea, He's not saying, "Whoa, you know what, Hosea, this man is going to get tough. So let me know, whatever you need." But what God wants Hosea to understand is not how tough the assignment is, but how deep God's love is for Gomer. And the reason why some of us, God places what we feel like are tough challenges, where we're thinking, "God, I have to sacrifice my dreams, I have to sacrifice my preference of where I'm going to work, and my community, I got to sacrifice." Like, why, God? And what God wants you to understand this afternoon is simply this: don't you see and know that it's not because God wants to make your life more miserable? It's not about the difficulties of what you have to give up, but it's about the greatness of God's love for a group of people that He's calling you to. Maybe it's this city, maybe it's somewhere else. But what God is saying is that these group of people who are lost, they are so important to me. I love them so dearly. I am sending you, entrusting you with this mission that is so important to my heart. Now I realize some of you are like Gomer, and you just need to experience God's love that will pursue after you. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of mistakes, God loves you. God loves you, and He's going to be persistent in coming after you. He's going to rule your heart. Even when you rebel, He's going to come, and He's going to pay the price to buy you back. That's how incredible God's love and commitment is to you. But many of us in this room, you are on this journey to become more like Hosea. What you need to understand is this transformative love that God is pouring into your life, so that not only will you understand His love for those around you, but you are being shaped and molded into men and women of God who will now finally be givers, vessels, to demonstrate this incredible love of God. And God is saying, where are the Hoseas who will understand my heart and who will be so rooted in my love for them that they will be willing to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." The love story that God is writing into some of your lives, it's not the story of Gomer, but it's actually the story of Hosea. And the reason why God is doing that is because, first of all, He loves you. And second of all, He wants to show you how much He loves those around you. And unless we are rooted in the heart of God for this upcoming season, we're going to make a season of go into what we do in our flesh and our soul. And it can't be that. When you think about calling to love people who are different from you, who are difficult to love, who might not respond to you, and you might not think, "You know what? This group of people, they're not worthy of me sacrificing my job and my future and my time and my comfort and my leisure." Yes, this is worth it.
love that you need to encounter. That's the love that I'm praying for every single one of us to dwell in. Come this summer and beyond. And so before we close out, sorry for my rant, but the last final question that I want to ask all of us is simply this. Have you encountered this love that has transformed your heart? Have you encountered this kind of love that is shaping your heart, your values, the way that you make your decisions, the way that you see your situation, circumstances, the way that you view those around you? More and more into the image and the character of Christ. In other words, are you becoming more like Hosea? So Father, we want to come and we want to respond, God, to just this incredible love that you have for us. We thank you, God, for reminding us that you are so persistent in our love. Just want to give us an opportunity to respond a little bit.